This is a Glass Box Media Podcast. Videos tend to be long in general, though. Like, I watch a few different beauty YouTubers, and Tati is one that I will watch on and off.
Yeah.
Like, I don't always love her videos, but sometimes I'm
she's
just like, you know
the
what?
OG, though.
Yeah, she's like old school, and like, I'm sometimes just like, I just want a straightforward review.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just show me some swatches and tell me how you feel about this eyeshadow palette. Like, yeah. Sometimes I just want, like, I don't need anything crazy. I don't mm-hmm. need some insane makeup challenge. Like, just tell me if I should buy this thing. You yeah. know what I mean? Like,
should I invest?
That's what I watch Tati for. I'm like, you know, she gives
I'm
you the
literally clueless on
old school
all of
shit.
This.
Dude, okay, do you want to lay it down? Or give the brief review.
I mean, okay, sure.
Because I do not watch tutorials.
Well, I never liked James Charles anyway. Like,
so James Charles is another
He
YouTuber.
Is a beauty mm-hmm. guru YouTube.
You would recognize him if you saw him. He's like the face of CoverGirl.
He was the first man to be like a okay. CoverGirl model. Which okay. is a big deal, yeah. and it's really yeah, yeah. cool. And he's
I'm
partnered...
not making this face because I'm like disgusted by that. I'm just no, in this I mean, face. Like, I don't know if
I'm
I would recognize him.
I'm prefacing it by saying that because, like, I get it that it's exciting that there's like a male makeup artist who's it's cool, but he's annoying and has always been annoying to me. Mm-hmm. There are other male makeup artists that I'll watch, but I can't get through his videos. I just think that he's obnoxious. And so it's kind of surprising to me that he has like his following is bigger than Tati's following now.
Really?
Yeah, it's
by
huge.
A lot. Like, she's got like 6 million followers on YouTube and he's got like, what, like 20 million or something like that?
He had 16. Before this all went down, she had 6 and he had 16.
Right. Million followers.
Wow, that is
like
a
subscribers.
Wild amount of followers. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's insane. But like, whenever he was like a newbie to the scene, when he was like 15 or 16 and had like very few followers mm-hmm. and she still had several million on YouTube, he reached out to her and was just like, you know, I just admire you so much and I would love to like do something with you. And she took a shot on him. She was like, okay, and like put him on her channel,
right? Mm-hmm. Blast, put him on out there
and- put him out there and like really really helped him along in his career. Her husband is like a manager.
Yeah.
And
helped him with like several business deals.
Right. Like helped him like renegotiate contracts and things like that. Was like, I won't manage you, but like I will help you.
Sure.
They've really like filled in as like kind of parental figures.
Yeah.
For him.
Like a surrogate family in some way.
He like did her wedding makeup.
And he couldn't afford to. It was like before he was famous and making a lot of money. So he couldn't afford to like fly himself out to the wedding and things like that. So she paid for all of that. Like for him to come and like do her makeup. And it was
which, to be fair, is what you should do.
But she didn't.
Like,
but she
I
didn't,
mean, if I'm being honest, like that is.
Right.
Like,
but it was essentially she didn't need him to do her wedding makeup. She could have gotten someone like big and famous and amazing to do her wedding makeup. But
so she was like, I'm doing this for you as a favor.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of I think it is kind of a favor. He didn't have followers or a career. She brought him along with her.
And like basically it was like making him money because like in all of her videos, she was like, use promo code like, make
James
sure.
On your feet. Like she and when she brought him along to do her wedding makeup, I don't think it was like a pity thing. I think it was like, this is for your career.
Sure.
So like, flying him out and doing all that, they you know, captured it, put it all on YouTube for him. And it like did really good things for him, you know? And so this whole thing, it's kind of petty, honestly, to me. But I also understand why she's like upset.
Yeah, because she launches Halo or whatever. And like,
which is like a like supplement, hair and nail.
Kind of like Sugar Bear hair.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, which I use Sugar Bear hair and they are
state.
Delicious.
I'm just kidding.
No, I wish.
I know, right?
This is not an ad for Sugar Bear hair.
No.
Or
no.
Halo.
Exactly. But so like James didn't have her like on his Instagram, didn't really like promote her. didn't promote Halo Beauty.
Like, and she's been promoting him up until like... Like, he just released a palette earlier this year, or like at the end of last year, and she still is constantly promoting him.
Wow.
You know, and invites him to like all of her like family functions, like her birthday parties and things like that. Yeah.
So they're like friends.
Yeah.
Right. And she speak like she showed videos. She came out with the receipts on her like 43-minute long video. And she shows she's like, it's genuine emotion because people are accusing her of like, you're throwing away your friendship with James over money. And she's like, no, like I loved him. And she like shows videos of like going to his Morphe launch parties. And she's giving like speeches where she's like crying because she's just like, I'm so proud of you.
Yeah. You know? It's like a genuine like friendship. Sure. And he ends up like after not like doing like anything for her for Halo or anything like that, just to get like Coachella VIP passes, he does a Sugar Bear Hair ad or whatever.
Right.
Or,
and like, he had told her like, I won't. He's like, I love you. You know, I hope that
I would never do anything.
I hope that Halo's a success, but I won't put it on my channel because most of my subscribers are young kids, like 12-year-olds and 14-year-olds, and like I just don't want to be pushing like supplements to to kids. And so she was like, okay, like I understand that. But then you're gonna turn around and be like, here are these ones that taste like gummy bears. They do taste delicious. You know what I mean? And you're pushing those. And he was like, he had called her. He didn't even tell her beforehand. She saw it like all over social media. And then he called her like several days later and was like, well, we were in a really, me and my entourage were in like a really unsafe position. And Sugar Bear like came in with VIP tickets for us that like really helped us because we were being like swarmed and like mobbed and shit. And it's like, you have millions of dollars.
Yeah. Like that. She's like, that's not how contracts work. Like she's like, it's not how any of this works.
That's
like,
not how this works. That's not how any of this works.
He's like 19 or 20 and he thinks he can pull this shit over on her. And she's like, meanwhile, she's like mid-30s and she's like, I've been in this game for long enough that I know how this shit works. There's 0% chance that that wasn't planned out beforehand and you didn't bother to like give me a heads up or let me know.
But the real reason why he's being canceled is for the like personal shit that she laid out, which is basically like his behavior in trying to like pursue straight men and just like getting really like shitty with them when they're straight. And he's like,
yeah, it's basically really sexual harassment.
Sexually like
he harasses like straight men to try and make them. And Tati has been like, they're straight. They don't want anything to do with you. And he's like, it doesn't matter because I'm a celebrity and I can do what I want.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
So that's what she laid out. That's getting people to be like, okay,
that's what
bye.
The receipts are about.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's like her birthday party. He was like really harassing like a busser or a server.
Yeah.
And she's like, I had to call people the next day and apologize for you.
Oh, I don't like that.
Yikes. So yeah. Yeah. But now Tati, I guess, is up to like over 10 million followers.
Okay.
James Charles is down by 3.
Team Tati right now. Yeah. I mean, he still has millions of followers. It's not really hurting him, but like.
Yeah, in the group chat this week, all I saw was hashtag Team Tati. So I was like, I have no clue what's happening.
Yeah,
like,
I guess.
Here,
every single person, I've not talked to one person who's just like, you know what? I think I'm Team JC. You know, like, not happened.
I mean, at the end of the day, how old is he? 19?
19 or
he's
20.
He's 19 with millions of dollars.
He's not going to.
He's
not
crying
hurting.
Into his money. Like, it's.
Yeah.
And he released a video.
He's using hundreds for tissues. He's fine.
Did you see his video?
I didn't.
Oh my God. It was so like.
For the listener, she just rolled her eyes out loud. I don't know if you heard that.
It's these beauty like apology videos. Like someone, Laura, whatever her face is, was like super fucking racist and was like losing a bunch of like YouTube followers. And so she released an apology video. And that shit is the most hilarious thing you've ever seen. Because it's like she's pretending to cry, like watching someone like try and force being like, I'm just so sorry. And he doesn't do that, but there is something about, I've seen my fair share of YouTube apologies at this point,
right?
And like, there is something about the YouTube apology where like they come to the camera, it's like kind of shitty lighting, that's how you know it's real.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Like they're like, I didn't even set up my lights, I'm just right in front of a window right now, I'm wearing a hoodie, I don't have any makeup on.
Yeah, it's always no makeup.
I'm wearing
always.
My glasses so that you know that like this
it's
isn't
genuine.
Like this is me being apologizing.
I'm raw and real right now.
And I'm like, I don't, you're sorry that you lost a bunch of
followers.
Like subscribers. You're not like, sorry. She's like, I owe an apology to Tati and James. They've been nothing but wonderful to me.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't, I shouldn't have done this to them. It's like, yeah, no kidding.
Dude, I think you really got to take a look at your behavior when the only one defending you is Logan Paul.
Logan Paul, and then Gabby, whatever his name is, another one who's another fucking problematic YouTuber. Yeah, those are the only two that are like coming to your defense. It's like, ooh, well, yikes. Ooh, not good. Okay, guys.
Do you think it's all fake for Boost?
Don't think so. I don't think so from Tati, because I'm just like, I don't think she would have. I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah. I don't get that sense either. I got the sense that it was genuine and she was just like, you know what? Like, she tried to like reach out and handle it probably privately, but then wasn't getting anywhere and was like, all right, then I'm going to swing my dick around.
She was being shaded by his friends, and then he didn't do anything to defend her. So she was like, you know what? This friendship is over.
Yeah.
I got you.
I see you.
I see you. Mm-hmm. I see you.
You guys, I have a shame receipt to cash in.
Uh-oh. First of all, should we introduce ourselves?
Yes.
All right. Fine.
Okay. This is my worst date. I'm Cassie.
I'm Keegan.
Who's going to share the
Christina.
Shame receipt?
Yes. Hi.
Okay. So, last night at my show.
Uh-oh.
We have a friend, you can bleep his name out, but just for context, so you know who I'm talking about, our friend came to the show last night.
Okay.
With a lady.
And
with a lady.
And, okay, our other friend, her fiance's family was there.
Okay.
Okay.
As well. And they were kind of standing over in the corner. I saw them. I was making a mental note. You know, when you come out to like after a show and you're like saying hello to everyone, you're making a mental note of like everyone you need to say hello to.
Yeah.
So I was like saying hello, you know, moving my way through the room. I saw a moved kind of over in the same corner as my friend's fiance's family. And so I gave him a hug. And then the woman next to him, she reached out to give me a hug and I gave her a hug. And then I went, are you Ian's mom? And she looked at me like,
oh,
she was so like thrown off. And then she said, no, I'm bleep that too.
Oh,
you've met me before. And I was like, oh no. And poor was like, you could see on his face that he was like, no, this is, I brought her with me. And I was like, oh no.
Oh,
I was like, it's just, I mean, I thought, and in my defense, whenever I told my friend, you know, whose future mother-in-law this was supposed to be, she was like, they do look alike. She's like, they do look alike, but she looked so offended and I couldn't save myself.
Oh,
I was
no.
like, oh God, no, I'm drowning. I'm drowning.
No backing out of that.
Oh, it was so awkward. And then it made the rest of the night so uncomfortable.
You're just like, oh my God, yes, of course.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I'm so frazzled right now. Like, that's like all you can do is be like,
yeah,
I'm so frazzled right now. I'm so sorry. Like, I'm just trying to like make sure I say hi to everybody, you know? And it's like, oh God. And then they were at the bar later and I was just like, oh,
hey,
hi. Oh God. And like, they drove up from Santa Barbara or down from Santa Barbara. And I'm like, oh my God. It felt so uncomfortable because it's kind of like that thing where, if I've never done this, but I know people who have, where like you're like, congratulations about being pregnant when somebody's like not pregnant.
Oh, no.
It's like the same kind of thing where you're like,
We've met.
And also I just accused you of being an adult person's mother.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Anyway.
It was, oh my God. So
it was one of those things that like, while I was like cleaning up after the show, it just kept hitting me and I was like, I kept like just shuddering.
Shake it off.
Well, I think I came up with a new like term.
Okay.
I'm really excited. So for listeners, I had a pseudo boyfriend kind of thing for all of about 6 days.
it was fast burn.
Really quick shooting star. But because of this person saying they wanted to be exclusive, I had to clear out my phone of a lot of friends, a lot of gentlemen friends that I've made in the past like year.
I feel like you got to show me some real sign of commitment before you ask me to throw away my little black book.
Exactly. Yes. But I thought about him and I was like, oh, I know what to call these random numbers. I'm going to call them U-ups.
They're my U-ups.
They're my U-ups. So I had to get rid of all my U-ups for 6 fucking days. And
now you're starting over.
Now I have to start over.
I feel like that's a cleanse. You know, like now you can be more discerning.
Yeah.
You can up your collection, I feel like. You know, like, I like it, actually. I think it's probably good.
Yeah, I think everybody has to go through.
You unplugged it, and now you're plugging it back in.
Yeah.
You know what's funny about this, Christina, that you did that? You actually went out on a date with a guy last night that you kind of like, and who knows what that's going to turn into. Maybe it was the cleansing.
Yeah.
It was that hard reset.
It was the hard reset that you did.
Saging my phone.
You saged your phone. You're on a hard reset.
Yeah, you weren't distracted by all the like dudes in your phone. Yeah,
the
exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
So yeah, I want to know if like listeners, like how many is too many? What are your experiences with your U-ups? Mm. Good, bad,
my
ugly.
My U-ups in my past, it would be one or two.
Yeah,
that would be about it.
I had three.
Yeah,
I had three U-ups that were, you know. Because a U-up has got to respond. Like, it's not just like, I mean,
I don't think I've ever had a U-up.
Oh, really? Oh,
no,
they're fun.
Sorry.
It is sad, isn't it?
Yeah. You just want to text me later and be like, U-up?
Yeah,
just to get it off your chest.
You know, I think
and
I need the
And I'll text back,
experience.
What you wearing?
You know what you can do? What you can do for me, Cassie, is you can go ahead and use the Snapchat filter to do male Cassie.
Yes!
And then,
dude.
And then Perfect. We can move from there. I'll change your picture in my phone just to make myself feel better.
We're totally I'll use a deep voice when I text you.
U-up.
You sound like the Theranos woman.
Yeah. You're
like, U-up. No, because I've got the U-up when it's like, oh, I want to go do something fun, like go out to a bar or whatever.
Sure.
I got the U-up.
The public U-up.
Exactly. You got the private U-up.
The private ones that you don't tell anybody about.
Exactly.
Private U-up. U-up for Arnie.
And then I got, you know, the freaky U-up that I'm like, I'm feeling
frisky.
Poundtown U-up.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So...
You gotta have the variety in there.
All gone.
Very good.
All gone. Ugh. So yeah, starting from scratch.
Well, do you guys want some useful, helpful information?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Well, I found the best sex position for your zodiac sign.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Do All tell. Right.
So I'm going to start with mine.
Pisces is going to be boring as fuck. They're always boring.
Mine's Aries. So, and I was like,
I'm going to say reverse cowgirl. That's my guess.
Bring it back down. It's regular old cowgirl, and it is right on track.
Yeah, because you're in control.
Oh,
in that situation.
Aries women love taking control and taking the reins, and putting on a bit of a show is a huge turn on for Rams. That is the fucking truthiest of truths I've ever seen in my
Capricorn's
life.
Capricorn's going to be missionary. Oh, I fucking know it.
Pisces probably is. Pisces is always boring.
Huge turn on for Rams who love seeing just how excited they make their partner. That is the fucking, that is spot on for me. So, all right, let's go. I believe it's going to be Capricorn. Capricorn. What did you think it is going to be?
Missionary.
Okay.
Oh, well, Capricorn.
Think about it for real.
Yeah. Okay. Scientific, logical, loyal.
Science it.
Yeah. Science.
You know, the real science behind this.
I don't know. I'm going to guess doggy style.
Okay. It's 69.
Oh.
Practical, efficient, and caring Capricorns are very intrigued.
Practical. Get the job done.
Are very intrigued by the prospect of simultaneous orgasm. The best way to try to make it happen, oral sex in 69 is classic for a reason. Enjoy getting each other off, then move on to the main event.
Oh, okay. I'm done with that.
Right?
Yeah.
Pisces, what do you think?
Oh, it's going to be something gross. I mean, not gross like fun, like gross like sweet.
Why do I think that you'll think this is gross?
I probably even, what it, is not it? Is it missionary? Sweet.
No, it's not.
Okay.
Pisces just can't get enough of anything with a little stimulation. It literally says anything with a little stimulation.
What does that mean?
I think that just means you get off easy, I guess. I don't know. It says can't get enough sensation. So adding a vibrator to the action can feel incredibly good. Or have your partner use their hands to stimulate you while you get it in.
Okay.
You're getting on. Get it
okay.
in.
All
right. Get it on.
I mean, that's okay.
Okay.
That's all right.
I mean, can I just say that, like, I mean, like, all of them, I'm just like, I like all of this. Yeah, like, you right. could have put
anything. I mean, all of them are everyone. I yeah. mean, pretty much, I think. Yeah. But
this is one of my favorites. Scorpio's sex position, anywhere that isn't a bed. I like that.
Yeah.
That's Ooh, funny.
That's nice.
Libra, phone sex.
Okay.
Virgo is oral. Leo is doggy style.
Oh.
Cancer, cat. What is that?
What is a cat?
Coital alignment technique. Or cat, how to do it. The woman keeps her legs together as the man or partner acting as the man straddles her because her thighs are together.
Oh.
The man will only be able to penetrate an inch or so.
Huh.
Oh.
I'm gonna try that out.
I don't know. I've got my notebook out.
Gemini is role play.
Excuse me for a second.
Gemini is role play and Taurus is missionary. Oh, poor Taurus.
Oh,
that's okay.
Now, yeah, vibrators are good.
Yeah,
I like them.
Yeah, Aquarius is wheelbarrow.
What oh, the fuck is that?
That's when. I mean, I think
it's from when the Kama Sutra.
It's when like dude face is standing up.
Man holds up the women's legs and enters her.
Like you remember, you used to play wheelbarrow as kids. It's but then you're naked and he puts his dick inside you.
So. But, except not like when you're kids.
Except we're not like that at all.
For something yes. totally yes.
I know exactly yeah. what you're saying. And yes.
That seems really athletic. That seems like, that's a lot.
That's work.
That's a lot.
You got to have good upper arm strength, I feel.
Yeah, you're like holding yourself and the dude is like, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't you just do it on the edge of the bed?
Lazy wheelbarrow.
Like, yeah. Oh. Right?
I'm down with that.
Yeah, come on, yeah. workarounds, guys.
I know.
Not all of us have the core strength, okay?
No shit. Well, on that note, I'm ready to play some Fuck, Marry, Kill.
All righty.
Okay.
Oh my
what
gosh.
Should
we do? Got it all hot and bothered.
No shit.
Yeah.
I like the idea of TV doctors. That was fun.
TV doctors. Okay. Yeah. I'm down.
All right. Yeah.
So there's a lot of doctor shows. There's Grey's Anatomy. There's ER.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well,
mm-hmm.
then I got to go classic ER George Clooney.
Oh, yeah, that was what was in my head as well. But you know what? No, that's okay.
That's also the I'll House, go, to be honest with you.
Or House. Or I'm going to go Patrick Dempsey, Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to go for House.
House?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, then I'll do whatever Clooney's name was and Dr. Such and Such.
Yeah, that guy. We know who you're talking about.
I always liked Noah Wiley back then, too.
Oh, he was cute.
He is so cute.
Yeah.
You know what? I feel like Clooney's going to be included in something else. Oh, we did him for Batman's, didn't we?
We did.
Yeah, we did.
So let's do Noah Wiley.
Wiley.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Okay. Ooh, right. He's cute.
He is cute.
Who'd you say? Patrick Dempsey?
I think I know.
I think I know too. Fuck House. Because he seems wild AF.
Yes.
Although delicate. He's got a back injury, so.
He'll be fine.
No, he seems like.
You just heard my sex positions, cowgirl, and I think we can.
Oh, yes.
We got this
You're
under
fine,
control.
Then, in that case.
Yeah. I'm in a fuck house, and I am going to marry Noah Wiley, and I am going to kill Patrick Dempsey, only because I never watched Grey's Anatomy. So if that.
Well, I want to preface this by saying I've never really watched Grey's Anatomy or ER. You know, I'm going on looks alone.
Yeah,
honestly.
Which is also kind of a little bit where I'm at.
I mean, but I have seen House, so I mean, I have an understanding of that character. But
yeah,
I feel like he's the guy that you fuck, but you don't marry. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
He's problematic.
Yeah.
He is complicated. He is. That seems like. You know that there's that like group hashtag, like that relationship sounds exhausting.
Yeah.
That's what it seems like it would be like with House. I'm just like, what?
Yeah.
Fucking, I have to deal with your problems.
I hate that, like, that's like a huge part of me is just like liking a sad boy project.
I know,
knew
it. We got to break you of that. We
I
really
know.
Do.
I'm like, I can change him.
You can't.
I can make him happy.
They did that for fucking, what, 10 seasons on House? He never changed. No. I never.
Yeah, learn from House.
I was like, I can fix him. I will try to fix you.
That didn't work.
No, I'm going to be better. I'm just going to fuck him.
Okay.
And then
try and walk away. Keep him as a you up in your phone.
Yes.
A complicated you up.
Exactly. I'll be like, don't use this one. Like, it was like one of the ones that's behind the glass where it's like break glass.
He's got to go in. Wasn't there an app a while back that was like you could put certain numbers in it for like when you're drunk?
Don't oh answer.
Yeah, so that like you couldn't like call them or text them. That's the
smartest
that,
fucking put, app ever. I
you gotta
swear.
Put him in that. Yeah, yeah. Only you can't because that's when you would call him.
Yeah,
and you'd call House like 2 a.m. drunk.
And there's something about Patrick Dempsey though. It's those his eyes. I think I'm gonna marry him. I don't know what it was like on the show. But yeah,
thank God we all have different tastes in men. Know. This is working out. This is where we're friends.
I know.
All having different tastes in men.
Yeah.
Although I'm going to do the same thing as Christina, I think. And I don't know why, really, because I do think Patrick Dempsey is attractive. And I think Noah Wiley is attractive.
They're both. I tend to go for darker gentlemen, like darker hair.
Yeah, they both have dark hair. Yeah. You know? I think they're both attractive. I think maybe it's just because Grey's Anatomy, even though I never watched it, it's just more in my, like, you know, I want to say the word lexicon, but I feel like that's the wrong word.
I want to look up Noah Wiley.
It's just more in my life because it was around more as I was growing up rather than ER.
ER was like when I was growing up.
Yeah, it faded out whenever I was younger. So I want to go with Patrick Dempsey to marry for no good reason, really.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with Patrick Dempsey to marry.
You're like, seems right.
I'm going to fuck House because I feel like that's the right answer.
It is, yeah.
He does seem like he would be the least boring. Seems like he would be the most fun.
Yeah.
And he's like hopped up on Vicodin. So you're right. He doesn't feel shit. It's going to be fine.
Oh, it's fine.
His back is fine. It's fine. It's fine. Yeah. I'm not worried about it. He's not going to be wheelbarrowing or anything.
But
like...
But he would use a vibrator on you, I feel like.
Sure, I feel
he
like
for
he would.
Sure would do that.
I feel like he would tie you up and use one of those back massagers.
Yes. Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Bananas. Yeah, House seems like one you might need a safe word with.
Yeah.
I think that's the right answer. And for no fault of his own, except for that I just don't know him very well, I'll off Noah Wiley.
Do you feel like he uses the cane on you?
Maybe.
Ooh.
And I might be all right with that.
I might be okay with that. All righty then.
Okay.
Well, let's go ahead and take five and we'll be right back with stories.
All right. And we're back. So we want to say thank you to a new patron.
Yes.
Yay.
A new
Patreon supporter. So thank you so much to Erica Thompson for being our new patron. We, you know, are so grateful as always for, you know, even if just listening, just listeners. Yeah. We're so grateful for that. And
welcome,
we're happy
to
have you on board.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Honestly, I think we said it last week, but I'm like, I just can't get over it. Like anytime I'm on Twitter and I see people's feedback and people commenting to us, and you know, our Facebook group is
the best.
Oh my God, it's so fucking awesome.
It's so fun.
Honestly.
I look forward anytime I see that someone has posted in our Facebook group, I'm like, oh, it's gonna be good.
Yeah. And you know what? It really does remind me a lot of Drinkerinos in that way. Like where it's like super supportive. Like everybody's really amazing.
Yeah, like we have rules, like any group, you know, no harassment, racism, bullying, et cetera, et cetera. And we have not had to like enforce anything in there. Like people are so good and like
and
knock on wood, but we've not had any posts like devolve into like fights or anything. It's a great place.
Yeah. Speaking of, we got that really great message the other day about somebody wanting some like tips on their dating profile.
Yes, which we will definitely give you.
Yeah, for sure. I thought that was so cute. I was like, you didn't realize like I'm like unsuccessfully dating.
But I would love to give feedback.
I would
love to give my two cents, but you've got with a grain of salt.
You've got two girls who have never made an online dating profile,
but are successfully in relationships. So.
True.
And I definitely helped Christine on her dating profile.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
I don't know if that's helped.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's
like, I don't know if that's a pro or a con, but
maybe it's my fault.
We will definitely help you out, girl.
Yeah.
We got you.
Yeah. Anybody that wants to send us, you know, their profiles in for sharesies.
Yep.
Yeah. For it. Yeah.
We're here for you. All right. Who's starting us off?
Me. So this email's a little long, but I kind of like it. And the subject line was my worst motherfucking date, y'all.
Oh, whoa.
I like that. You sound like my type of person.
Stank
like
on it.
Yeah. Yeah, she did.
Yeah.
All right. So she says, before diving in, I just want to tell you guys that I, all caps, love this podcast.
Yay.
Thanks so much.
I'm so glad I stumbled upon it. Not only are you guys hilarious, but it's really important for me, a 24-year-old woman, to hear your wisdom and your perspectives really validate my own feelings about relationships.
Aw, yay.
So, end quote, cheers. Yay. To being role models for younger women just trying to figure it the fuck out.
Oh, I love this already. My heart just grew like 3 sizes.
You're like the Grinch.
Yeah.
Okay, so she says, but let's get down to the reason why we're really here. My worst
I love that. She's like, now down to business.
Now down to business. Sorry for the length, but it's a good one, I promise. While being off again with an emotionally abusive ex, gaslighting, am I right, ladies?
Yes.
We can relate.
Yep.
I downloaded Tinder for the first time per my roommate's suggestion. I was 19 at the time and matched with a super cute 26-year-old. We'll call him Sean. We hit it off over text and started talking on the phone. And I'm like, okay, bitch, let's do this damn thing for real. Girl, is this me right now?
I know. Like, I know. She's like, all right, enough with the chit chat. Yeah. We're not pen pals. Let's do it.
Right. So we meet up for coffee and then walk some trails at a local park in the daylight because ain't no way I'm becoming a statistic.
That's right. You don't want to get datelined.
That's right.
Exactly.
It was a pretty good time, but I could tell he was hella nervous, like visibly shaking nervous. I was nervous too, but my extroverted personality and ADHD just goes haywire as a defense mechanism against social anxiety. So I'm blabbing and being my wildly charming self, but he's really quiet.
That's how I handle social anxiety too. Totally. I get like, I talk too much. Mm-hmm. I go the other direction.
Yeah.
Totally.
Oh my gosh. It's got to be 50-50. I really don't like it when someone else can't like handle the other half of a conversation. No, I'm immediately turned off by
that. It's exhausting because then I just feel like it's a one woman show.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, da 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 da, because I can't handle I can't handle awkward silences. So I'm like, well, I guess I'm just going to carry this shit on my own.
You're like, here we go. Put this in my backpack too. Yeah. Got it.
Yeah. Then I'm going to carry some water and this fucking conversation.
After the date was over, I'm thinking, okay, girl, some men just can't handle all this. So if he isn't into it, then that's cool. But he ended up texting me once he got home saying he had a great time and asked if I wanted to go to the zoo later that week for a second date. So I'm like, okay. So the charm bomb did explode and he's into it tight.
I love her.
I know.
So zoo date comes around and Sean is convulsing like a fucking rave girl on a bad Molly and base nectar show. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
I fucking love her so much.
Is this your like long lost little sister or
I
something?
Think so.
Oh my god.
Are we related?
At this point, I think I would be like, yo, like at this point, you've got to be like, are you okay?
Right.
Do I need to call an ambulance?
Like shaking that much, I'm like, is it like drugs?
Yeah, like what's wrong with you?
Say like a fucking rave girl at a bad Molly. anyway, he tries to hold my hand, and the sweat permeating from his pores was like dripping.
Ew.
Oh no!
Oh no!
She says no hyperbole.
Oh my god,
that is fucking gross. Can you imagine? Like you go to like hold hands with somebody and it like rings out like a wet washcloth. It's fucking disgusting.
It's like clammy. And
I'm sorry. As someone who gets like clammy palms when I'm nervous, like wipe your hand off on your jeans or something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
God. Oh my god.
Don't go in there with clam hands.
Ew, you know better.
Real talk, I felt really bad for him. I wanted him to feel comfortable, but I understand some people need more time. So despite our slip and slide hand holding, I gave him the benefit of the doubt.
Ew.
We stopped by the bathroom so I can take a whiz. Whiz. Oh my God, she might be related to me. I swear to God. And when I come out, dude has two tequila shots in his hands. He offers me one and I'm like, I'm good. Like, it's noon and I'm 19, so I'm not trying to get arrested at the motherfucking zoo.
Where oh my God, where did he get tequila shots at the zoo?
And shot glasses.
At noon.
He like, just like what? Pulled them out of his backpack. He's like, brought these for emergencies. Let's do this.
Oh, here's the hippo exhibit and some tequila.
He shrugs, takes both shots to the face and says, those were $20. I'm not letting it go to waste. I'm kind of dumbfounded, but also like, if the liquid courage is going to help this little hyperhidrosis turtle come out of his shell, then whatever.
Wait. At a zoo that serves tequila shots?
What zoo is this?
Where are you?
No, I need to know about this zoo.
Wild.
That is wild. Like, yeah. Wow. Or do they serve margaritas and he was just like, just give me the tequila.
You know what? I'm going to do a margarita, hold the everything no, but tequila.
Yeah, and serve exactly. It in a very small glass. Thank you very much.
Perfect. Thanks. Got it. Like the previous date, it went well, but Sean was really quiet and barely engaging in conversation. So I'm thinking, okay, maybe this isn't going to work because our personalities don't really seem to match up. Despite my hesitance, we make plans to hang for a third time. No. Girl, you were persistent.
Well, she's 19.
Yeah, no, I'll tell you the other thing though. I mean, I'm fucking 37. You remember Dude Face that?
Yeah, I could not handle his silence either. Yeah. Like I tried
because I was like, like he's
that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have learned through you, I think. Certain deal breakers that I didn't know I had.
Yeah.
And one of them is like, I could not be with, I hate awkward silences and carrying a conversation so much that if we went on one date and that's how it was, if it felt like being in an elevator with a stranger, then I'm not trying to go on a second date. I just can't do it.
Yeah.
My personality isn't set up that way. Some people like that. Like they like being the person who carries the conversation.
I do not.
I don't.
I need
reciprocation.
Like, the number one like turn on for me is like
talking, communicating.
Yeah.
So this is date number three. This time I invite him to my apartment to watch Wet Hot American Summer, which he said he didn't get like a bitch.
Like bitch. Like bitch. I like that. You're like a bitch.
You didn't get it. She says, like, bitch, what's there to get? It's hilarious. I fucking love her. And drink some beers. I'm thinking, okay, no pressure situation. We got alcohol. My roommate and her boyfriend were there. Maybe he'll finally loosen up. Well, lo and behold, he doesn't. In fact, he's more tense than before. I tell him we can go watch Netflix in my room. Like it. Thinking he's having anxiety around meeting my roommate and her dude. As soon as I close the door, Mr. Skittish, formerly abused rescue puppy.
Oh my God.
I love this. Has a revelation regarding his mental illness. He sprawls out on my bed, takes his sweater off and motions me to come lay next to him.
No.
Okay.
No.
Not sure where the sudden confidence and aggression came from, but it threw me off my rhythm. I had recently suffered from a serious neck injury and that I had told him that previously. So I said, sorry, I have to sit up with a neck pillow. Laying down is actually really uncomfortable for me. He seems disgruntled, but sits up with me and I press play. 5 minutes into the movie, he puts his hand on my leg, not feeling it. I get up and grab us some beers, come back, and he gets handsy again. I say shakily, I guess your nerves went away, huh? And he says, I feel way more comfortable when we're alone. I might be a blind ass bitch most of the time, but this is red flag was flapping in the wind. So So I'm thinking, okay, time to abort. I use my neck as an excuse, saying I'm in a lot of pain and would like to just take a Vicodin and go to sleep. He then proceeds to get under the covers, turn the TV off, and ask me for
He's
a
like,
painkiller.
Night, night.
Oh no.
I'm like, oh no. Hell no! I'm not going to contribute to the opioids crisis.
I'm not trying to get you hooked on these pain meds, bitch. Get out.
Get and
out.
Also, get the fuck out of my bed, you psycho.
Oh, my
I
God.
I laugh and turn on the light and say, oh, we are not there yet, dude. You got to go.
Dude, at 19. Sleepovers are way, way, way intimate. Like, I don't need you to know that I talk in my sleep.
Right.
I don't need you to, like, see me in the morning, like
morning dragon breath.
Sleepovers are like, I'll fuck you before I let you sleep in my bed. Yeah, you know what I mean?
I have a whole nighttime routine that I need to perform. Yeah. Like, I'm that is not third date material, especially not three bad dates.
Yeah.
But you know what? I have to say kudos to her at 19 for being assertive enough to be like, to tell this 26-year-old man to get the fuck out of my bed.
Yeah.
I said it playfully because socializing for women includes playing it safe just in case the dude you're rejecting is a violent fuck.
Amen.
Oh, my God, girl. Yes.
Oh, my God. He's like, am in love with this girl.
Me too. Right?
He's like, haha, okay, fair enough. I walk him out. He kisses me with a sweaty ass upper lip and leaves.
He's got a sweat mustache.
Ew. I waste no time the next morning comprising a very thought out text explaining that I think our chemistry is more fit for a friendship rather than something romantic. I had a great time hanging out and I hope he understood.
Oh, this isn't going to be good.
Ain't going to go well.
Nope. He's the type. He's going to blow her up.
Yeah.
It was a long time ago, so I don't remember exactly what he said in his reply, but I'll never forget the last part. He texts back, LMAO, well, joke's on you. I have borderline personality disorder, so congrats on dodging that bullet. Also, when I left her place last night, I went to a random's house and fucked her. He then proceeded to tell me I was a prude, which, joke's on you, Sean, I am actually a total slut. And usually put out on date three if the dude isn't a sweaty pervert.
Oh my God, I love that so much.
She's like, you were just unfuckable. It wasn't.
Joke's on you. You're just disgusting.
Yeah. I'm like, holy fucking shit, boy. Bye. I never replied back and closed the proverbial book on Tinder because if this was my first experience, what kind of nut job will I find next? Later that week, he drunk dials me at 4 a.m. I answer in my sleep and he's like, are you regretting your decision yet? I said, oh, God, no. And please don't call me again. And as I'm going to hang up, he's like, wait, no, I'm sorry. I was just calling to see if I could buy some Vicodin from you.
Oh, God.
I hang up and block his number and lay my beautiful ass head on my pillow and go back to sleep unbothered.
Queen.
Because, well, man, worst fucking series of dates ever. Also, I know I said I swore off Tinder, but I did eventually re-download only to end up meeting up IRL with one dude who I am now in an amazing 3-year relationship with. He's not sweaty bitch and has divulged all and any mental illnesses in an appropriate fashion. And I put out on the third date. Thanks. Love y'all.
He's not a sweaty bitch.
I love that.
I hope he's listening. Do you see? You hear that love letter?
Yeah.
You're not a sweaty bitch. That should be in your vows.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's amazing.
That's awesome. She's fantastic. I love her. Okay. I will go next. All right. This is an email we got. It says, hello there. I'm a huge fan of your podcast and just recently thought of a funny story I have of a short-lived relationship I had in high school.
Oh, goody. Yes, high school story.
It's going to be sweet and innocent.
So I will try to make this short. When I was a senior in high school, there was a new student that came to our school. Oof. Fresh meat.
Yep.
I remember that feeling. The girls are like, hey. Normally, I did not date anyone in my school because I do not like seeing most of my exes after breakups.
Hear you.
Anyway, when I first saw this guy, I was blown away by his good looks. He was tall, dark, and handsome, had very long, luscious hair, and definitely did not look like a high schooler. I immediately fell in lust with him and knew I had to pursue him.
Just like getting all the Jared Leto vibes.
That's fucking high school. Yes. You're like, long hair, check.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like he's in high school, check.
Totally.
We eventually started dating, and this is where things got way too weird. We dated for only a month. That whole month was a roller coaster.
Oh, God.
The first thing that had happened was one day we were driving by a Puff and Stuff on our way to his house.
Puff and Stuff.
What the fuck's a Puff and Stuff?
You don't know Puff and Stuff?
No.
Is
that like a Huffin convenience stuff store? Is like wet waterbeds and stuff. It's like a head shop.
Oh, waterbeds okay. and stuff was the shit.
Huffin stuff was a place that was there too.
I see. Oh,
gotcha. This is okay.
So a head shop.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I just didn't know that Puffin Stuff was a place outside of Columbus. I'm not going to lie.
Huh. Well, maybe she's from Columbus.
Right on.
I don't know.
Anyway.
When he saw it, he laughed. I asked what was so funny, and he then said that one time he went into that store and flashed one of the people.
What?
What? She wrote it like that, and I had the same reaction, because that's how it's written.
Oh.
But.
Oh, okay.
Flashed one of the people money.
Oh.
I too was like, oh, that's like, inappropriate. That's
very inappropriate.
Wow, that is deviant.
Wow. Asking them if he could buy weed off of them. That makes way more sense.
Okay, got it.
They asked how old he was and ended up calling the police on him while he was running out of the store. The police did not get to him in time, but I was like, what the fuck? That is where I should have cut him off. But again, those looks were too good. And to me, I'm like, okay, he's
school.
Yeah. What is he, like 16? I feel like that's a pretty typical like teen stoner move.
16-year-old boys.
Oy yeah.
Vey.
Yeah.
Oy vey.
Get weed at any,
yeah.
you know, and price
way, you can't
possible.
Buy weed at a head shop, bruh.
Yeah.
You're dumb. You're 16. Dude. You're like, dude. Someone in here has it.
You can't even like buy weed there, dude.
Bruh.
The following week, we were sitting in study hall together, and he gave me a note and told me to read it after school.
Uh-oh.
After school, I read it, and it was a note describing in detail how much he loved my body and explicitly telling me exactly what about my body he loved the most.
Oh.
I mean, like, explicitly. Drawings and everything.
Oh, no.
Which is intense for high school.
Can we talk about the drawings? Intense. What in the world are these drawings?
I need like, to see like them.
Oh, my God.
I want to see them.
A body.
Oh, it's just God. Stick figures of, yeah. like, blowjobs.
This is me wheelbarrowing you.
A stick figure drawing of a wheelbarrow.
Girl, I really like them boobs.
Stick figure with two boobs.
Giant, yeah. giant boobs.
Giant boobs.
I was so weirded out by this and showed all of my friends, and we had a very good laugh over it. You'd think I would break up with him then, right?
Oh, no. Yeah.
Nope. Again, those looks were just too good for me. What really took the cake was when he took a pack of my cigarettes from me and wrote something on my lucky cigarette. This is all very nah. Midwestern.
Oh,
the lucky
I know.
Cigarette. I swear to God. Okay, I think I know every person that's written today.
Yeah, you know.
Because this is
a Midwest story,
like,
for sure.
The lucky cigarette.
Yeah. Dude. Yeah, yeah.
Let us know if you're from the Midwest, because I'm getting all the Midwest vibes here.
Yeah. Yep.
Puffing stuff.
He told me not to look at it until I got to my lucky cigarette, which I always would smoke last, as you do with
like
a lucky.
Like you do yep. with a lucky.
Of course, as soon as he left, I looked at it. He wrote, I love you on it. I was really like, what the fuck? Because at this point, it had only been about a month of us dating, and it takes a lot for me to have strong feelings for someone. A few days later, he asked if I had smoked my last cigarette yet, and I lied and told him I dropped my pack in a puddle and that they were all soaking wet, so I did not see it.
Oh,
I did not see what it said.
Yeah.
Yeah, which, that's smart.
Smart Alexis.
Yes, I agree. She says, which I know is kind of shitty, but what was I supposed to do? I was like, no, that's not shitty. That's
perfection.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's, like, good.
That's exactly how you do that.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. You nope right out of that situation. By this point,
you smoke that lucky real quick.
Yeah. Smoke it real fast. By this point, I did not care how attractive I thought he was. I was done. So I'm the type of person who's really bad at letting people down. Ooh. I mean, like, I feel so bad that my anxiety goes through the roof and I just can't do it. I'm really bad at that too. I'm so Damn. Bad at that.
Yeah.
I then had my twin sister call him up. We have pretty much the same voice.
Yes.
And break up with him for me while I took a shower.
That yes. is the best sentence
ever.
I have ever heard.
What's a twin
ever.
For? If not
exactly.
situations
do
like
your
that.
Dirty work. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Amen. Amen. He then proceeded to cry, and my sister said that we could still be friends.
Oh,
sister.
No.
Oh, no, sis.
No.
Sis.
No. Sis. I outlined this for you.
Yeah. we were supposed a plan. To
cut off all ties. I know how shitty that was on my part, and since then, I've learned how to break up with people on my own.
Wow.
He had told me he was 17 when we first met, and I was 18. A month later, I found out that not only was he not a junior, he was a sophomore, and he was 16. Anyway, I should have stuck to my rule of not dating people in high school or high schoolers at all. It ended up being a hilarious story that my friends and I still laugh about to this day. there are a lot more things that happen during this long month-long relationship, but this has been long enough already. Thanks for reading.
Thank you for sharing.
Oh my God. High school. That story was just
the high schooliest.
The high schooliest.
Exactly.
That sounds like a 16-year-old boy. Like, seriously.
Yeah. In every way. Oh my gosh, man. High school relationships. Mixtapes and...
Oof.
Puff and stuff.
My story, actually, I got last night when we were all hanging out, made a new friend, and my new friend shared with me his worst date story, which I cannot wait to share with you guys. Okay, so my new friend went through a divorce like 3 years ago and tentatively started to date, and so downloaded all the apps and was figuring that out and matched with a really beautiful nurse practitioner who was about a decade older than him, but she was pretty, had her stuff together, you know, seemed like, okay, let's try
this. Promising, attractive in many ways.
And so he meets up with her. They're having a few drinks. They're having a good time. She's having a few more drinks. And then a few more drinks. And eventually just gets completely blackout, crazy shitty. So he,
on a first date. Speaking as someone who likes to drink, like, I cannot see having enough drinks on a first fucking date.
Well, also, it's just like fucking so unsafe. You know,
yeah, you don't know, like, that person
with a stranger, you're literally giving up,
out drunk,
yeah,
and you don't have like friends there or anybody else there. Yeah. It's just the two of you. Yeah, no.
So he gets her home and like gets her into bed, and then, you know, nopes out. Then she texts him like, this is like later, and they end up going on a second date. I'm like, you went on a second date? Oh. He's like, I thought maybe she was nervous and things just got out of control. Sure. So, you give people the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, everyone has moments. I was like, okay.
You know, that's nice.
She got a little shitty.
Well, I mean, here's the other thing. The difference between just starting to date again when you're willing to give people second chances and being a year and a half into it where I'm like, go fuck yourself. You know what I mean?
You fucking knew better. That's exactly right.
So
you know the rules of dating.
Exactly. We're dunsies.
Sir.
We're dunsies. So they go out on another date. They go to a bar. I'm like, maybe like the zoo or coffee or something. Yeah. That's like, they go to a bar where then they both proceed to completely blackout.
He's like, I guess I'm just going to go one for one with you because let's just do it. I don't want to have to put you to bed again. So
if this is what we're doing, we're doing it. We're doing it.
So yeah, he knows what it is now. I like it.
Exactly. He's like, all right, well, bottoms up.
This is what we play for.
Yeah,
let's go.
So then they get like kicked out. They both fucking nightmare.
I have gotten shitty before. I have never gotten kicked out of any establishment.
No. Yeah. Knock on wood.
So they end up like going back or whatever. He gets her into bed and, you know, one thing and then another. Then so he's like, this is a fucking mess, man, right? This is where you'd cut ties, right? You're like, okay, two times in a row, like, well, I gotta cut ties. Goes on date three with her. And he's like,
and she thinks she struck gold. What? She's like, he likes me. He likes this shit.
He even said, he's like, that's on me. And wait until you hear what this date is.
I'm excited.
His company Christmas party.
Sir. Sir. No. What? No.
Why in the fuck?
With
world?
Like, and it's a legit company too, where like VPs have flown in.
Oh, I don't like
and
this.
And higher ups. Are you ready to go on this journey?
I am so excited. I want more stories like this. I want you to have taken a date you should not have to a family or company function.
Yes.
I want to hear how it went
date
down.
Date three.
Drunky McNurserson.
Yes, exactly. Goes to his company Christmas party and behaves like an angel and everything works out just great. No, just kidding.
You're like, the end.
Like, what? No.
It's like, that's weird.
No, proceeds to get completely fucking shitty.
This is on him. He knew.
This is your fault, sir.
You knew her. You knew what she was
to
like.
To the point where his, like, coworkers were like, you need to get her the fuck out of here. Like,
oh my God.
You need to get her out.
Listen, she showed you who she was.
Mm-hmm. And, like, he had, like, coworkers who were like, what did he say? He says, they were like, I used to have a lot more respect for you.
Like, that's where that is the level of your behavior.
I'm not even mad. I'm just disappointed.
I'm just disappointed. Spicy. I'm really disappointed.
That's your mom's
very spicy.
Disappointed. Mm.
So I'm like crying by this point. He's telling me the story. I'm like, I can picture
you
it perfectly
to
in my head.
See those motherfuckers on Monday.
No. Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah. And like, it's like all of his bosses, like everything. So he's like searching everywhere for her.
He lost her.
He lost her.
Oh no.
There's
he lost her.
Oh no.
Like, people are coming up and like, go find, get her out of here. And so he is searching. Shit.
He's
to
playing
find
like
her.
Fucking you where guys, in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
Person, this person's a nurse practitioner. Are we scared?
Yeah.
We are
a little
worried.
Bit. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
I'm
yes.
like, okay, go find Nurse Jackie and get her the fuck out of your
no,
company.
You know, there's a real fucking like.
No shit.
Vicodin doctor theme happening with
oh
this episode.
Oh my God,
I know.
We got that we house. Did the doctors. We did the
Vicodin.
Yeah. That is so crazy.
This nurse it's practitioner funny. Who has a clear
clearly.
Problem. But can you imagine, like, at that party, he's trying to, like, find her. She's just leaving a trail of destruction.
Meanwhile, like, yeah, people come and find him.
And they're
like find
I
that
saw her on
chicken.
The balcony. I saw her in the bathroom. And you're like, oh, where, no. is she?
Where is she?
Oh, my God.
I feel like this is a movie
I know.
Playing out.
So he finally... finds her.
I'm so nervous. I'm so nervous.
And she is in the middle of getting hot and heavy with his female HR department head.
I had a mouthful of beer that entire time. We were in a very dangerous situation. Oh my God.
God.
Oh my God. No.
What?
No.
Yep.
Oh
yep.
no!
Yeah.
Oh no! How did he take her, get out of that situation?
He was able to get her home and everything, but yeah, he was like, he was expecting to like get written up, get like fired,
no, the HR person is the one who's in trouble here.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah, yeah. I guess if she's gonna shit. Make out with somebody, at least it was like the HR person. So then she was like,
yeah,
we're just gonna let this go.
We're just gonna call even
that's,
Stevens. Is
that's
what.
A lost
yeah.
night.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So
nothing to see here, folks.
That's,
oh my God.
That's my new friend's
I mean,
worst
tell
day.
Me he then deleted her number. And
oh,
like,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
He's like, that's
that
it.
Was, well, maybe he kept her as a crazy you up. You know what I mean?
Oh,
yeah.
You can't keep that kind of crazy in your life.
Yeah.
Dude. You
no.
cannot do it.
No. You can have a like crazy fun you up, but she's like crazy, crazy you up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can't.
Yikes,
so, yeah.
y'all.
Yikes.
There you go.
It's a yikes.
I love that though. Like
that's
inappropriate
amazing.
Family,
oh, yes.
company,
function.
Picnics.
Because
yes.
like you know,
where
we
you need to go dress to
we
impress
talked
and
about,
they're like dress to drunk.
We talked about sweaty palms and like nothing makes my palms sweatier than the thought of like
somebody
that,
being an ass.
Oh, that situation. At like someone you brought to a family function or like a business function.
I get
it's
really
like,
nervous.
Like, I like this.
I brought new friend around. Friends last night and I'm like
don't embarrass me sir do not embarrass
do
me
do not embarrass me
he didn't
please be cool
he did not
he
did
no
not.
No
but sweet. I'm now cautious it's like my mom brought home another guy and I'm like I don't know about you yet
yeah I know you need to prove yourself to me
I know well I'm in that category too yeah. like finally where I'm just like
I kinda like
you know,
that though
yeah
I kind of
we'll
it's
see.
Weird
we'll
I'm
see
like,
where it goes
we'll see
yeah
side eye we'll see sips tea okay. Are you guys ready for my crazy in love?
I yes! am so ready.
Where are you taking us?
I am going to take us back to the late 1960s, 1970s.
Awesome.
Right.
Okay.
Take me on a journey.
This is a story of Holly Maddox's murder.
Holly Maddox?
I
does
don't
that
know
name
if I
sound
know that.
Familiar?
Because I'm burying the lead.
Okay. Got it.
So, Holly Maddox was this beautiful, well-liked, well-loved, of course, the most Dateline-y descriptions ever.
I know. She lit up any room she walked into.
You know what I think we should do is write each other's, like, Dateline.
Oh,
yeah,
I know.
We
keep forgetting to do that.
You know, like, what we would say about each other on Dateline. Yeah. You know what also we should do? They talked about this in the Daily Zeitgeist, and I think that is something that we should actually do. We need to pick our pictures
Yes.
And for if approval. We go missing.
Approval.
Oh, or approval. I know. Because I'm like, if y'all pick a fucking picture of me that is like trash, when I'm found, I'm going to be
staying
pissed.
Gone.
You're like, that's it. I'm actually dead. Never mind. So Holly Maddox, she is a beautiful salutatorian. She's a cheerleader. She's from a small town in Texas called Tyler, Texas. She grew up the oldest of five children. She was born to a very conservative Christian family. Her father was a World War II veteran, and they had, you know, a very tight-knit family, but, you know, a very strict household. Mm-hmm. And at the time, her brother and sister, who on this show that I watched, which was a People magazine investigate show on ID or something okay, like that. Yeah. So, and I got most of my articles that I found too were from People magazine. So it's where most of my source material comes from.
Awesome.
Loves, you know, I loves me some peeps.
You do. You
I
love
do.
It.
Her brother and sister on the show that I watched, they describe her as a free spirit. She had dreams of getting out into the big city life. In 1965, she moves to Philadelphia to attend Bryn Mawr College. I know, right? It's very sweet.
Yeah.
And so she takes, you know, this big leap, leaves her small town Texas and goes to the big city to...
That's a big change. College. Small town Texas to East Coast.
Philadelphia.
Yeah. That's a culture shock. Yeah.
And at the time, I mean, this is 1965 when she moves there. She goes through college and, you know, as she's graduating college, she decides that she's kind of in love with the big city life. And this is as the counterculture revolution is starting. And so everybody's really kind of, you know, it's the hippie spirit, it's the free love spirit, mm-hmm. but it's really about, you know, there a lot of it's about protesting the war.
Yeah.
It's about, you know, environmental issues. It's really kind of this, you know, counterculture time where people are taking a stand, being vocal, having a say, feeling like they want to have input into what's happening in the country.
I really wish that
we were in a counterculture movement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we kind of are. We are, actually.
Just not as like vocal or as active as they were back then. But there have been a lot of things.
There's been a ton of marches and stuff. I've personally gone to a lot of marches. Yeah. It's there if you want it. If you want to find it, it's just, you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Been to a couple myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just feel like back then it felt like it was bigger. You know what I mean? Like,
but
it felt
we're also looking at it in hindsight.
That's exactly right. And so, like, you wonder, is it because of the way that we're viewing it now? Is it because of the where we are that we are viewing it from this sense? Like, will our grandchildren look back at this time period and be like, man, I wish it was like the 2000s?
Yeah, I think, so. You know what, I think 18. So. I think we look at what young people, especially, like, in the last couple of years, I feel so old. Like, but, you know... The March for Our Lives was organized by young people. Like what they're doing in, like, especially is huge. It's a nationwide movement.
Yeah.
I think people will look back on this time and be like, yeah, there's a big social shift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People are speaking up.
Yeah.
And so at the time, you know, Philadelphia is a real hub for, like, a lot of this movement, a lot of this excitement. Things are happening.
I really like Philly too.
Yeah. I have only ever been there like once or twice, and I've only ever been there for work, so I didn't get to actually experience Philly, which I feel like I would love because I love history.
And you're an East Coaster.
Same. I vibed with that city really well. I really liked it.
And I love Washington, D.C. so much. It's like one of my favorite cities, so I feel like it probably has a very similar vibe.
It's like
and Boston,
East
too.
Coast, Midwest, like had a baby. And it was Philly.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Can see that. That makes
sense. It's like a Midwest East Coast city.
On. Yeah,
I can see that.
It's cool. I like it.
Yeah, it has Chicago vibes for me.
Yeah.
So during this time, when she's, you know, kind of going to some of these, you know, rallies, these things that are happening, there's this guy and his name is Ira Einhorn, and she meets him in 1972.
All I can think of is Finkel or Einhorn. It's from Ace Ventura.
Yes.
Finkel or Einhorn. Sorry. All right.
Anyway.
Continue.
So Ira Einhorn. Okay.
So in 1972, she meets Ira Einhorn. She's enamored by him. He is into politics. He is this real up-and-comer in Philadelphia. He is like, he hobnobs with like the wealthy, but he also has like, he's got a real personal statement. There's a lot of rumors that claim that he was part of the group of people that invented Earth Day. He spoke at the first Earth Day, but really there's not a lot of truth to the fact that he is one of the originators of it. It was actually organized by someone else. So,
but all of this, like college age Keegan, like hard eyes for this fucking shit. All he needed to do now was pick up an acoustic guitar at a party. Right.
And
I would have been like, sold.
He's totally the dude of the time, right? Like he's like this bigger than life guy. Yeah. He's this big guy. He's got a beard, the long hair. You know what
you
I mean?
You like exactly. trees? I fuck with that. Let's do this. Yeah.
So I stand.
Holly was totally fucking with that. So she was like, this guy, he's enamoring, right? He's a speaker. He's charismatic. He guest lectures at Harvard. I mean, he's well-spoken. Ooh. So she instantly connects
with him. It's going to take a turn.
He actually has... quite a bit of an ego as well. Like, of course, I mean, he does. Somebody who kind of claims to be the originator of Earth Day,
do almost all men who pick up acoustic guitars at college parties. Okay, so can't true. Trust them; they've got egos.
So true,
exactly.
But his last name's Einhorn, so he actually nicknames himself the Unicorn.
Because, all right, you lost me.
I just got chills.
Yep,
not you fucking lost way. Me there. Einhorn. You can't give yourself. A nickname.
Yeah. Einhorn, rule number one. Horn, unicorn.
No.
So,
no.
You
no.
know, a playoff. No. Still not. Okay.
Oh, you got to give, cool. You cannot give yourself a nickname.
So, at this time, like, Ira and Holly fall for each other hard. They're very into each other. They decide to move in together and they start this on and off relationship that lasts up to 5 years. And they're, you know, back and forth, they love each other, but it's very passionate. So they, you know how passionate relationships go.
Right. Yes. It's hot and cold, fire and ice. Yeah.
Yep. Passion goes both ways.
Yep.
Passionately in love and passionately out of love.
Yeah.
Very quickly. So during this time, that's how their relationship's up and down. It's like a roller coaster. So 1977, they're officially off. And she decides that she's like, you know what? I got to get away. So her friend Joyce invites her to stay at her place on Fire Island. So she moves out to go stay with her friend on Fire Island, and she meets this guy, a friend of her friend Joyce. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, get to talking, and she's like, you know what? I really like this guy. So they start dating a little bit, and she gets a call from Ira on September 9th, 1977, she goes to go pick up her stuff from Einhorn's place. He tells her, if you don't come pick up this shit, it's going to end up out with the trash. And so he's like, come get it or it's gone. So she goes to get this stuff. And after that point, no one hears from her. Well,
always, Ira. always. Take someone else to go to your ex's house for anything.
Right. And I understand that you feel like you know him. You feel like I get it. But better safe than sorry at all times.
Always, always, always. You never know. Like, ugh.
Trust no bitch.
Yep. That's right.
Exactly right. So so again, no one's heard from her. And at the same time, her family relationships have become a little skewed. So at home, her father is very, very, like I said, he's military. They were yes sir, no ma'am. This is like how their home life was. And when he had heard that she moved in with her boyfriend, he stopped any communication with her. So their father was just like, I'm not communicating with you.
When will parents learn that that is not
ever going to work?
Ever going to work. Never works. Like it literally never works.
And the history of ever has never worked.
No.
So at any rate, she is still, though, communicating with her mother. They are in constant contact. She writes letters all the time. They write to each other. And her mother's birthday comes and goes, and she doesn't hear from her. And the family's like, this is really bizarre. Like, she wouldn't not call on my birthday. Like, this
right.
is not...
Yeah.
This is not Holly's behavior. Like, this is very bizarre. So they reach out to the Philadelphia Police Department, and they're like, hey, we haven't heard from our daughter. This is where she's last known to live. This is really kind of odd.
Unusual
behavior. Mm-hmm. So the police go over and they talk to Ira, and Ira's like, yeah, no, we've broken up. I haven't heard from her. And they're like, yep, sounds right. All right, bye.
Yeah, it's 1960 something. They don't give a fuck.
It's 77 at this
point.
Well,
oh, it's 70s. Well, still, same thing.
Same thing. So no one had heard from her. So they decide to reach out to a private detective named Bob Stevens. He's a, this is like after, you know, working with the police, police are getting nowhere. This is literally like months later. And they're like, we still haven't heard from her. This is not, something's not right.
Yeah.
So they reach out to Bob Stevens and they're like, he's a local, like,
PI, like private.
Well, he's a retired FBI agent.
Okay.
So they contact him and they're like, hey, you know, haven't heard from our daughter. This is really bizarre. So Bob Stevens hooks up with a guy in Philly, another retired FBI agent named J.R. Pierce. And they, you know, do a little research and they go to investigate Ira's place again because they're like, this is really like the last person that anybody's ever seen her with or heard from. And, you know, where else do we start? And so right around the same time, though, they also hear word from the landlord that there were some people that the unit below Ira's place has been complaining about like a very like obvious odor and that smells like it smells like maybe dead rats in the ceiling. Ugh. And that there's also this leakage coming down.
Oh,
and they're like,
no.
Yeah. So they're like, this is really odd. So he reaches out to the police department. The police department investigates and they're like, so they get a warrant to go into the house. So they get into the house and, you know, they're searching the house and they get to this his bedroom and there's a closet. Closet has a padlock on it. So they cut open the padlock.
For what reason, Ira?
Thank you, Ira.
Do you need a fucking padlock on your closet door?
Right.
So the movie I watched said, or the show that I watched said that, you know, he's like, I don't know where the keys are. But then I actually listened to a podcast that interviewed the FBI agent at the time he was on this case. And he said that the keys were literally in his kitchen because at some point, some other things come up, like where he tries to blame the government in having a hand in this because of his
fucking hippie,
because of who he is and what he's against, right?
It goes all the way to the top, doesn't it?
It's the man. The man is trying to get me down.
Yeah.
So
no,
not today, Ira.
They break into the closet. The closet is literally packed floor to ceiling with just shit, right? Boxes and boxes and boxes of stuff. So they start unloading the boxes. They get to one box and they find Holly's purse with all of her identification. So they're like, Holly wouldn't be able to like leave the state, country, whatever, go gallivanting around if she doesn't have all of this stuff.
Right.
So they're like, so they keep searching, they search through all the boxes, and finally they get to the bottom where there's this big trunk. Padlock on the trunk. They break up in the padlock in the trunk, and the detective says he sees like newspaper clippings, and the newspapers are from the dated from September 9th, 1977.
This fucking idiot.
He's like, yeah, this seems suspicious. So he starts removing the stuff, and he sees they find this like not quite skeletal remains, but almost mummified remains. And he looks over at Ira and he says, looks like we found Holly. And his response was, you found what you found.
Ew.
I don't like that. You found what you found.
I found you in a jail cell for the rest of your life, motherfucker.
Well, so.
Oh, no.
No.
I'm about to get real mad. Am I about to get real mad?
Yeah, you probably are.
God damn it.
So they do take him. They arrest him. They take him to jail. The court at the time is going to charge him with murder. And at this time, apparently in Philadelphia or in Pennsylvania, there was no degrees of murder. So it was just a murder charge. So it's not like first degree, second degree. It's just murder charge. They take him to court. And he is, they go to, you know, do bail hearing, basically. Mm-hmm. And at that time, for a murder charge, having bail at all was completely unheard of. But what Ira had was a lot of witnesses for his character witnesses, like saying, this is a great man. He would never do anything.
He likes
like
trees.
This. He loves the trees.
The unicorn wouldn't do this.
Unicorn wouldn't do this. So he has all these people basically standing up for him saying, like, this guy's a great guy. He would never do anybody any harm.
You
like,
don't know anybody.
And he's definitely like,
off top, you don't know fucking anybody.
That's definitely absolutely not true. A flight risk. So the judge sets bail for $40,000 and he's able to get released on bail for $4,000 because basically you only have to pay 10%
percentage. Yeah. Right.
So one of his good friends, one of his very wealthy connections is this woman who lives in Canada. She is lives in Montreal and she is the heiress to the Seagram family.
Oh, Jesus. Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
They're so also involved in that.
Money.
They're also like heiresses to the Seagram's fortune.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure those are the people who were funding that Nexium as well.
Oh, shit.
The daughters.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're the ones who were funding that. So they got some seedy fucking people in their family. Yeah. And apparently it goes all the way up the tree.
Just bad judgment.
Right. All the way to the top.
Fucking genetics are sketching that family.
Wild.
No shit. Wow. They're coddled by Jen.
Wow.
Yeah. So, like, sure, here's $4,000.
And Jen is like the rich ladies, like, isn't it? Yeah. You know?
So anyway, he is released on bail and he's set for trial. And in 1981, when he's supposed to go back to the court date, he skips bail and leaves the country.
I hate him so much.
Surprise. So they can't find him and they have no clue where to find him. Well, they don't get another lead until 1983 when they realize, because they got some information, that he was living in Belfast, Ireland. So they did track him down in Ireland, but Ireland didn't have an extradition policy at the time.
Correct.
So he said once he found out that they were on his trail, he disappears again. They don't hear anything about anything again until they don't hear anything again. In 1993, they decide to do a trial in absentia.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So they take this case to trial in 1993 because they can't track him down. And they're like, you know what? Their family members are passing away. We really need to close this case. We know he did it. It's a pretty much open and shut case.
Can I just also say that this is fucking infuriating to me? I think the reason why I'm so like mad about this case in particular, I'm mad about most of these, but like I'm so mad about this one in particular. One, because this is exactly the type of person I would have been hoodwinked by in college. Right. But two, because it makes me furious that this man is like on the lam, and you know he's framing it as though he's some kind of like social justice vigilante running from the man.
Yes. Right.
And I fucking, that shit makes me so, you're not. You're just a piece of shit. Like, you're just a piece of shit scumbag who did something shitty. Like, you're not some heroic figure that's like escaping. Anyway.
For justice.
Proceed.
Right.
Sorry.
So anyway, they do find him guilty in this trial. He is found guilty of murder and is sentenced to life imprisonment. So, but he's still on the fucking
land. Gotta find him first.
Yeah, gotta find this guy first. So the next clue comes right after the trial, and this woman who they found out is the person who set bail for him is also been, they find out, funding his fucking entire like existence, pretty much. Like, she's been sending him money and...
We got to stop drinking Seagrams.
Yeah.
Officially.
Yeah.
So they also then find out, too, they end up through some research, track down that he had been in Stockholm and that he has been connected to this woman that was living in Stockholm. And they find... Oh, gosh.
So many women involved in this story.
I know.
Who are just sheltering him throughout this entire thing.
So they track him down to Sweden, where they find him connected to this woman named Annika Floden. And it turns out that Annika is his wife. They then lose the track there. They're like, because they are both out of Sweden, they track Annika to Denmark. And then the trail is completely cold.
I don't know if the dick is ever good enough to go on the run. for.
Right. Like, well, and who knows if she knows that they were on the run. Maybe she just thought, oh, we're moving here. And
moving to Denmark.
And we're going to move to Denmark.
In the middle of the night.
Let's go try this place. My man's going to have to give me more of an explanation than like, I just want to try Denmark now. Why?
Okay. So they then are, again, kind of not like at a loss. So the FBI agent that I said I heard listen to him tell the story about this, he said that they had reached out. They'd had some problems working with Sweden in the past, and then they did this America's Most Wanted thing, and then they got a bunch of tips coming in. And he said that one of them was like a Swedish woman who was just like furious, like, I can't believe that the Swedish authorities aren't helping you further with this, connected them with the Swedish police, and were like able to do a little bit more research and found out that Annika had tried to reach out to get her license so that she could get a new license in France. So she needed to reach out to get her identification through Sweden so that she could get her license in France. Mm-hmm. So they were able to track her down through this address. Well, and they find him with her in France. And the local authorities do go and they arrest him.
Oh, nice.
Which is great. Except that at the time, France doesn't have extradition.
Fucking flip this table. Flip it.
With the U.S. either. And especially in the cases which could possibly lead to a death penalty.
But they'd already tried him.
But they'd already tried him, which was also life an in issue. Prison. Which was also an issue. Because they weren't going to extradite him if he wouldn't be able to have another... have an actual trial in which he could stand up for his case. Mm. So 6 days later, a new legislation passes in which anyone who is extradited from a foreign country can get a new trial. And finally, they do. The French.
Jesus, that was exhausting.
I know. So this is now 1996.
Jesus.
This murder happened in
77.
77.
To 20, almost 20, 19 years.
Yeah. It's wild, isn't it? So. Finally extradited back. They put him on trial once again. It's a 4-week trial. He claims, of course, yes, that this goes all the way to the top and that he has been, you know, this is all.
Oh, even though there's two padlocks. You know what the biggest turn on to me is when a guy's the victim.
Ugh. Oh, my God.
Doesn't that just get your motors running?
I've never hated somebody more in my life. I'm going to hate this person so much because I can see him so clearly. I know people like this.
He calls
like,
himself the unicorn, oh, for Christ's sake.
I want to kill you.
Yeah. Ugh. So,
but I won't.
He is, because I have self-control. Finally gone through the court proceedings. And is found guilty and is found guilty and is served with a life sentence. And in Pennsylvania, a life sentence is a life sentence and with no possibility of parole. So he will be spending the rest of his livelong days behind bars in PA.
Goodbye.
Bye.
You piece of shit.
So that was the unicorn killer.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, kind of resentful that he gets to be called the unicorn killer. I'm like, he named himself that. Why did he give him that name?
Why did he kill her? They were off and on. He just like flipped out and was like, well, here.
Yeah, there's no reason to kill her. It doesn't make sense.
I just think that he basically was at some point like, when she came back, he was like, if I can't have you, no one can.
Yeah. Or maybe if they said that their relationship was really passionate all the time.
Yeah.
Like maybe they had an argument and he fucking...
Killed her
in like, you know, in the middle of the argument, like that could have happened too. And then he was just like, well,
I mean, the wildest part of the story is the fact that he just ended up on the fucking lam for, I mean, how long?
And so many people sheltered him, which is
sheltered
like,
him. The money that was behind him.
He's not a political prisoner. Like, there's no reason to like offer him asylum. Like you can like he's just a shithead.
Also, like what kind of fucking person is cool with just having a dead body chilling in their closet?
That's like, thank you.
Right. Yeah. Thank there's something you. Real wrong with you.
Dude, how
it's seeping. It's through seeping. The walls.
It smells. It's also fucking creepy. Like, do you know how convinced I would be that there is a ghost?
Oh, 100%. Oh,
God, yeah. It's been kicking it in that closet for how long?
Unbelievable. That's just,
yeah, that they to even me is said though too.
Like this guy's got such a fucking ego as well. Like he had over 60 diaries that
that's
they found.
Very apparent. I mean, that his ego is massive,
very narcissistic, very much. I mean, he calls himself the fucking unicorn.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, and I invented Earth Day. It's like, slow down, Al Gore. Like,
I'm going to need you to slow your roll.
Sir, no wait, sir.
That is so, ugh, yeah. God, I fucking hate people like that.
Yeah. So it's a, yeah, it was a wild ride, but finally, it's a good finally, one,
though. Good story.
Finally, the Maddox family was able to get justice.
Good.
For her death.
But it's just so sad because it's
that father's got to feel like shit for not having a relationship with his daughter because he was so Judge Judy about.
I'm pretty sure he actually killed himself.
Oh.
Yeah. I know. Sorry.
Let's
take it down to Omniville there for a sec. But yeah. I feel like I remember them saying that at some point, you know,
I mean, here's the thing, like, that I get this whole like tough love situation that parents want to do, especially people who are like very strict parents.
But what if that's the last time you ever get to
that's
speak
exactly
to
right
them.
Every time I hear about things like this, I always think of Leslie McAfee's parents from the Bernardo murder, like in Canada, where like she was like 14 or something. She stayed out past curfew, and like as punishment, they locked the door. They locked her out, like as like to teach her a lesson. So she was in the backyard of her own house trying to get in whenever she got picked up by him. And you know, how do you ever live with yourself? Like after that, if you're the parent, you're just like,
I'll teach you.
I mean, it's just like one of the, that whole tough love thing is like safety first, dude. Yeah. You can lecture her tomorrow, you know, like that's just, it's just sad.
God, it is sad.
Well, are you guys watching anything interesting? I know we got Game of Thrones finale tomorrow.
Can't wait. I'm excited. I don't care. Like at this point, it's like, this is the last episode.
It is what it is.
Everything that's happened.
I'm
so going to
watch
it.
It excited. Is what it is. And
yeah. I've been
new Black Mirror drops soon. When? I'm so excited. I don't know. They didn't announce a release date, but they did release the trailer. Miley Cyrus is in this season.
What? I want to see it. Okay. I'm watching that as soon as we're done here.
Yeah. I'm rewatching Deadwood with Anthony in preparation for
the staying
movie.
Awake?
He is. He was shamed by the last episode. He was deeply shamed. Good. And so he is now staying awake with me. Or if he starts to fall asleep, he tells me and we turn it off and we pick it up later.
Why?
Nice. As it should be. I'm also, what brings me joy is I am rewatching, you know, because I've watched Friends a million and five times. It's usually like what I put on if I got stuff going on.
You do know that one of our friends has never seen Friends.
I'm sorry, what?
Who?
I'll bleep their name.
Don't bleep it.
Oh, my
Friends.
God. You see why I asked the question. You see why I asked if you had ever seen Friends.
No, I don't.
Because these people exist.
Yeah.
What the fuck? We're going to have a talk. But
happening that's tonight.
Messed up.
You're like first phone call I make.
I know.
After
in fact, I'm going to text him right now.
You're like,
but I have been instead, I'm taking a little bit of a break from that. And I've been rewatching Parks and Rec.
Oh, God,
I love that
Parks
show.
And Rec brings so me funny. So much joy. It's so just funny. So funny.
Dude, the like, sad, just sad Batman is like one of my favorite things where they take Ben to treat yourself or whatever.
Try like, on this is what you wanted to do. I like the Game of Thrones when him and Leslie have the Game of Thrones like role play and she has no idea what she's talking about.
That show makes me happy. You gotta have a light show, especially you know, we watch so much like true crime and stuff like that. You gotta have like
it's a palate cleanser show for sure.
Well, you know, I watch a lot of shit on the road because I travel so fucking much and I'm by myself in a fucking hotel room. So what else am I gonna do? So I accidentally started watching Paradise Hotel.
Oh no!
I hate love it.
The promos for that show were
it's terrible,
like, cheesy.
The promo of the show came on, and Chris was like, "You guys should watch that for the podcast." And I was like, "That looks stupid." And of course,
I'm three episodes deep,
and here I am, two episodes in, and I will be watching the whole thing probably.
That's
so
funny.
But I also started Punk.
Oh yeah,
which is that series on Epix. It's fucking rad.
Awesome.
I am so stoked on it. It is like, you know, history of punk rock and
cool.
Oh, it's so cool.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Dude, yeah. So
are you watching anything new?
Not really. I got blown up this week with like a huge cold. So generally, like when I get like really sick and I'm just like taking medicine, it's just like City Confidential, Forensic Files, yeah. City Amen. Confidential, mm-hmm. Forensic yeah. Files, and then
all
yeah,
the comfort
just
zone
all
stuff.
This all this stuff. And I, you know, it's like, oh, if I fall asleep and wake back up and it's the middle of another case, it just doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter. They can all
there's
run together.
Something about the narrator's voice from City Confidential that's very like soothing. Calming. Yeah,
I feel that way about the narrator's voice from Snapped. Yes. That woman, because no one talks like that. Where she's like, and then this thing happened, and you're like, oh.
City Confidential, they're right always like, Austin, where the nights are hot and the, you know, and you're just oh, like, yeah. Jesus, dude, take it down.
Take it down like two pegs.
But also, I'm kind of sick and this feels really
no,
good.
No, no, so. It's comforting. It like makes it. Yeah, because honestly, the Snapped woman, if I'm trying to watch an episode, it's kind of annoying. But like, yeah. if I'm like getting in, snugly for an afternoon nap, I'm like, you're this like, is perfect. This yeah. is just what I want.
Yes. Yeah. Well, if you guys have any stories, like I said, we're still on the lookout for just anything. Shoot us an email. We love to hear from you. It's myworstdatepodcast@gmail.com. Also, check out our one-stop shop of a website. It's myworstdatepodcast.com. You can join our Patreon. You can join our Facebook group. You can listen to us. You can do the damn thing. And don't forget to like, rate, and review. Tell all your friends. You know what to do. And we love you for it. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll see you next time.
Cheers.
This is a Glass Box Media Podcast.